You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday is with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I would say I'm personally well.
Well, yeah, personally, we are. But, you know, Dr. Craig, while we keep hearing about, you know, Donald Trump and his minions refusing to follow the judge's orders, I think sometimes we forget, you know, that when they're focusing on those things, we lose sight of what's happening with Medicaid. We lose sight with this article that's in today's New York Times with Thomas Friedman, of all people. Great writer, Dr. Craig, great economist, been around a long time, won all sorts of awards. And he said, I have never been more afraid for my country's future. Now, this is not just some guy sitting on a bus stop, Dr. Craig. This is a man who is has received the greatest of awards in journalism and a longtime journalist that is respected across, you know, the Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever it is. Let me read this quick. So much crazy happens with the Trump administration every day that some downright weird but incredibly telling stuff gets lost in the noise. A recent example was the scene on April 8th at the White House where, in the middle of his raging trade war, our president decided it was the perfect time to sign an executive order to bolster coal mining. We're bringing back an industry that was abandoned, said President Trump, surrounded by coal miners in hard hats, members of a workforce that has declined to about 40,000 from 70,000 over the last decade, according to Reuters. We're going to put the miners back to work. For good measure, Trump added about these miners, you could give them a penthouse on Fifth Avenue and a different kind of a job, and they'd be happy. They want to mine coal, and that's what they love to do. Dr. Craig, it's just one of many things that are happening that the American people aren't even aware of. Only a man who clearly is troubled would be single-handedly trying to bring back and put people back into coal mines, knowing the impact of what happens to those miners in the coal mines. Dr. Craig, help me understand.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to understand this in a logical, rational way if we're a species that actually can act on its own self-interest, which is maintaining a habitable planet. Now, you mentioned the Albrego Garcia case at the beginning and how that gets all the attention. This is the problem with Trump's communication strategy, which is extremely effective. That is, it's not one rabbit we're trying to watch under hats for a magician. It's 100 rabbits. And so, you know, that some of the cases are the big orange rabbit that maybe you're watching when the more important smaller rabbits are you're not noticing them. But we have to try to notice all of it. But I think he's also maybe misstepping on that case as well, because if there's a kind of a case that can turn people around on these lies about who immigrants are and Trump's real intentions, which are removing due process, period, the government says you're a gang member, and there could be no due process whatsoever to prove anything, and we can disappear you to a foreign gulag. I mean, now this El Salvador prison is essentially a gulag, but you're absolutely right about coal. And here's the thing, it's a lie at so many levels, Earl. It's hard to unpack it all. First, it's a lie because we can't afford, as a species, as a planet, to keep burning coal. We will have runaway change and huge portions of the earth will be uninhabitable, and the problems we have are almost unimaginable if we do that. We have 5 years to cut emissions in half. In addition to all the other death, the air pollution, right, the black lung, everything else.
Right.
But at another level, he's lying to the coal miners, because coal is more expensive than other energy alternatives, both solar and wind, but also natural gas. And so there's no market for it. It's like promising the stagecoach drivers somewhere around the turn of the 19th or the 20th century that, you know, we're going to have all those stagecoach jobs again. It's not true. It's not going to happen. Now, he may be able to greatly undermine our chance of a regulated climate change, but it isn't going to be because he massively increases coal. And I don't even know. I mean, West Virginia has become very red. It's not going to vote Democrat anytime soon. This is just a weird ritual thing with Trump where he claims that he is the person. He has the power to restore some previous golden age. It wasn't all that golden with all the black smokestacks. The real solution would be to provide 21st century green jobs to all of these unemployed folks in coal country, right? And in greater Appalachia, he has no plan for that. He has no plan for them, and he has a plan that jeopardizes the future of the species and the future generations and kids and everything we love.
You know, Dr. Craig, he's promising to people that he's going to bring back A.L. Smith, Alan Bradley, Alex Chalmers, Slitz, Miller, Pabst, Cunningham, O'Kane, America. He's promising people that those things are coming back and we're going to turn back the clock and all those manufacturing jobs are coming back and we're going to go back to the way it was during my lifetime when I could walk out of high school and go into a place and work 34 years and live a middle. It's not going to happen. Because, and even if he could do that, even if those jobs came back, Dr. Craig, automation has claimed that type of work. Most of those companies in China are highly automated, Dr. Craig. The manufacturing is all highly automated. It's why they're so successful, is because it's automated. And automation is not going to allow for 6,000 or 8,000 people to work in one plant anymore.
So you're very right. And the conceptual mistake, I mean, it's always, you know, talking about the illogic of Trumpism is oxymoron in and of itself, right? But people were brought to this city, Milwaukee. We're sitting in Milwaukee, right, in Racine now. I know the studio is in Racine, great former manufacturing centers, right? Folks like your family, Earl, Raphael Smith, our organizing director's family, you didn't come here to do the particular kind of manufacturing or just because you wanted to work for a particular company. You came for the good union-supporting jobs, yes, to raise a family on, and then set up your kids to do better than you did, right? We could do that, but it wouldn't be the old manufacturing jobs exactly. There could be some more of that, but just think about this, Earl. We need, in order to prevent runaway climate change, what we really need to do is to put solar panels on every house. We should do it. And at battery storage, offer it to every house. And you need a huge workforce to do that. It could be a union workforce. There's a union contractor doing weatherization in Milwaukee and now other parts of the state, Green Homeowners United. That's a laborers union, you know, part of the laborers union. So we could do that. We could create all those jobs. That would probably be, that could be much better and more enjoyable work than the old manufacturing jobs. But Trump isn't really interested in restoring the relative economic equality of the post-war era and the access to good jobs for everyone, not just people with the right college degrees. He's actually interested in just dividing people and making false promises to people so he can be the dictator. And the question is, the whole part of the population is going to continue to fall for it. It doesn't take that many people. 5% people switch, then, and we maintain the mechanisms of democracy, actually fair actual elections, then he can be voted out and his whole party can be voted out. But we're at a turning point now. I think Senator Chris Murphy is right that the future democracy is determined in the next few months, not the next few years.
You know, Dr. Craig, this is Charlie Sykes. Remember Charlie Sykes? The conservative.
I know. I think I was the last recipient of the Deep Tunnel Award that I attended him this last week on the air.
So Charlie Sykes said yesterday, we're way past the tipping point. Since I sent out this morning's email, Donald Trump openly defied the U.S. Supreme Court, so an urgent update seems necessary. In a meeting with President of El Salvador, both men scoffed at the notion that they could comply with a 9-0 ruling to return a Maryland man who was wrongly deported. Of course, I'm not going to do it, the president said, and when he was asked whether he would return Kilmer Armando Abrego Garcia at his side, Trump sat smirking. And just like the president of the United States openly defied a unanimous ruling by the nation's highest court, the constitutional crisis we've been waiting for is here. That's Charlie Sykes, Dr. Craig, not you and me. 855-752-4842 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
So welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You know, my guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. But Dr. Craig, I'm just, you know, for people who don't know what time it is, when Charlie Sykes, when Milton Friedman and many other voices, prominent voices, give warnings to the American people, we should take heed, shouldn't we?
Well, Charlie's career is quite interesting. One could write, the twists and turns of how he was kind of a liberal Republican, then leaned into right-wing talk radio and did a lot to damage Milwaukee, to divide it racially, right, prevent us from having metro transit like light rail across the region. other things. Northridge Mall is partly closed because of him, because of his demagoguery. But then he refused to, you know, bow the knee and go all the way to Trump, and now has become a defender of some level of democracy. I'm not sure what Charlie really believes, but he's a talented man who has a way with words and is good on TV and radio. And so he is playing a useful role now, which I guess is all that we can really ask of everyone, is to fight for democracy now, regardless of what checkered past they might have. But he's right. I mean, in this case, you have the Supreme Court, while still trying to give as much leeway as possible, essentially said you have to, I mean, the words were to facilitate this man's return, who you admit was wrongly picked up, and that you provided no evidence that he was a gang member, and they won't do it. And Trump smirking yesterday in the press conference with the joint appearance with the El Salvadorian dictator is just, I mean, that the cruelty is the point. But they are this judge is having none of it, this federal district court judge in Maryland, and she is forcing them into two weeks of depositions and holding over their head that there could be contempt charges. She is going to try to get it out of them, but they've refused to provide any information. So they're really pushing the envelope. And the question with the Supreme Court ruling here, when they appealed up to them, is obviously they had to write the lightest defense of due process as possible in order to appease the right wing of their court, Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, Alito. And do those men care anything about due process? Does this offend them that the Trump administration is ignoring the role of the courts entirely and abrogating to itself, Earl, because this applies to citizens as well, and Trump said that in the joint appearance with the El Salvadorian dictator, that now he wants to go for homegrown people. This says if you have a foreign policy cover, you've declared a fake emergency that there's a war against the United States, and it falls within the realm of foreign policy, then there is no due process, no court judicial review whatsoever. And if they say you're dangerous and they send you to a gulag in El Salvador or somewhere else, that nothing can be done about it. That is as chilling. The words, the hyperbole has become, it's almost like you need to raise it in order to meet the standard. But this is as chilling a thing as we have seen in the whole Trump experience.
Let's go to David. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Oh, thanks, Earl and Doctor. Two different things. You were talking about the executive orders and how bizarre they were. I saw one piece about, you remember Trump was trying to declare that he wasn't getting enough hot water, or he wasn't even getting enough water pressure.
Right.
And so he made an executive order so that the water pressure would be increased. Well, if you've ever been in a skyscraper, like 30 stories up, taller than that even, it's extremely expensive to send water up that high. If I remember right, an average pump can only push it like 150 feet. That's like 15 stories. And then you got to get another pump to pump it up even higher, even higher, even higher. And so just to flush a toilet at 30 stories, 50 stories, whatnot, could be $5. Just that amount of water is extremely expensive to get up there. And he's basically a welfare cheat, Trump is, because he's trying to get the taxpayers to pay for that rather than the building. And for him to do a mandate, it's essentially forcing the taxpayers to pay for the high life in the penthouses. So, yeah, that's one scam. The second thing I was going to raise was about El Salvador. I don't know if you've seen, there's apparently some satellite footage about mysterious courtyard in that prison, which apparently has blood, massive amounts of blood, and what may be a mass grave. And this report goes on to say that the prison itself is built to hold 40,000 people who never get out to see the light of day. They've got to stay inside all the time, so that's obviously going to kill them without vitamin C or vitamin D. But that it's overcrowded at 40,000, And if Trump wants to send more down there, then they're going to have to kill people order to be able to hold them.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, just the fact that, you know, the man talks about sending American citizens himself. He's telling the president to build even more of those gulags. And yet, you know, if people don't see that as a crisis, Dr. Craig, I don't know, right? I mean, that's the fear, that there's still people who still blindly follow that in the face of all the things. As Charlie Sykes has just said, you know, Dr. Craig, this thing is it's almost already a fait accompli.
I mean, this is a step beyond Guantanamo, which, you know, there are a lot of people who were never found guilty of anything right. that were held there, but it was nominally, at least, under U.S. jurisdiction, and there were court proceedings concerning it, and some people were released. This new loophole he's created, find a friendly dictator overseas and ship people over there, this abrogates the entire U.S. Constitution, and the due process rights are fundamental. It's what the country is founded on.
855-752-4842. You know, it's Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action and you on the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. The one and only Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, you talked about all the different rabbits in the hats. You know, because of tariffs and all these other things, one of the most closely watched parts of the GOP's sprawling domestic policy bill could start coming together in less than a month. And what that is, Dr. Craig, is the Medicaid fight. We're not talking about those things, Dr. Craig, and it's on the horizon. And you know better than most the impact of the cuts to Medicaid, which I don't care how many times they say they weren't going to do it, and Donald Trump said he wasn't going to do it. With them just about ready to pass that $4.1 trillion tax break, Medicaid is going to happen. They're going to impact it. Is it safe to say that?
I don't know that they can get the votes, Earl, with the public reaction that already exists. And you're right. It hasn't gotten much attention in the national media stream, just occasional, and then it drops off. But out in congressional districts, and we've led a whole number of town hall meetings, people are on fire about it because it directly impacts so many people. Because we have a fifth of all people using Medicaid for their health care. It provides the predominant amount of long-term care for seniors, people with disabilities. It's like 40% of all childbirths. I mean, it's ripping healthcare away from people who have nowhere else to go because the healthcare system is unaffordable unless you happen to have a job that provides good health benefits. Even then, you have trouble with the deductibles and the copays and the coinsurance, and Every interaction is a big surprise bill, given the way the healthcare industry is just extracting resources out of everyday folks. But it is toxic for them. The Senate instructions are $6.5 trillion in tax cuts. They're adding new tax cuts. And the way they get away with that is that they claim that the original tax cuts are free because they already exist, which the Senate parliamentarian probably is not going to agree with, but who knows? But unlike the Democrats, they probably go and up and fire the Senate parliamentarian if she rules differently than they want. So I think that this is the first opportunity to deal Trump a major defeat where he can't pass a budget, because even right-wing members of Congress like Derek Van Orden in your listening area in Western Wisconsin, who's in a swing district, are running around denying they got cut Medicaid when they voted for the instructions that require them to cut Medicaid. $880 billion instructed to be cut by the Committee of Jurisdiction over Medicaid. There's nowhere else for them to go unless they want to go to Medicare, which is even higher third rail, right? Even higher voltage than Medicaid is. They're both high voltage. So I think this is a little like the whole ACA fight that in many ways blocked everything further in the Trump administration. It's one they can lose, but people need to get involved in. And it'd be a triumph of democracy, just like defeating their long promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act also is a triumph of democracy, where the people overcame, you know, a party that was at that point hell-bent on doing damage to the country.
Go ahead, Dr. Ritt.
I was just going to say, I think that the fight is far from over, and this is an opportunity for democracy to prove it can work by the people making it impossible for them to get the votes.
So, Dr. Craig, if they do go through with the tax break, the only other place they can go if they don't go to Medicaid is Social Security, Medicare, and the military to offset that kind of tax break, or to add that much more debt. They don't have many options, Dr. Craig, so they seem to be hell-bent on getting the tax, given the tax cuts. So what else is there?
Well, can they? People like Darren Van Orden know if you take that vote, you greatly increase your chance of losing in 2026. So it's they put them in a catch-22. They're not offsetting all the tax cuts. Just so everyone knows, they're still adding $3-4 trillion to the debt, depending on whether you look at the Senate or the House instructions. And the Senate instructions are now the ones the House has adopted. So they're not offsetting all of it. I assume that their solution may be to try to not cut Medicaid at all if they can't get away with it and still do the tax cuts, or to try to cut Medicaid in some complicated way that people won't understand it's a cut, that they can get away with it somehow. But make no mistake, the only way to save money on Medicaid is to drive people off of Medicaid, so whatever mechanism they create. For example, Earl, they could convert what we have now, which is they pay a certain percentage of the cost of Medicaid for every state adjusted to the poverty level of that state. In other words, the deep red states, like in the Deep South, most of them get much higher amounts than Wisconsin. But Connecticut, which is richer than Wisconsin, will get lower proportions. It's called the federal match. Instead, just to give the state something flat. Well, what that's essentially going to do is it's going to force massive cuts on the part of the states and put it on state legislators and governors. None of them want to make that decision. So we see Robin Voss and the leadership of the and Senate Majority Leader LeMahieu worried that they're going to be left holding the bag with what they try to do on Medicaid. Are they talking to Trump or Van Orden or Senator Johnson? I doubt it, but that may be one of their tricks. We need to make it clear that whatever mechanism they use, it's a mechanism to drive people, take healthcare away from people, from average people, in order to give huge tax cuts to corporations and billionaires.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, I'm going to ask you a couple stupid questions. Which president brought up Social Security and Medicaid? That's my first question.
Has he brought him up?
Well, he know. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm asking him the question. What president was it?
Well, Tom, you know he knows, Tom. You know he knows, but what's your point?
I know he knows, but I want this to show the audience as well, Earl. Who brought us Social Security and Medicare?
Tom, people are aware. Go ahead.
All right, fine. My point is, why does not the Democratic Party call themselves the party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the party of Lyndon Johnson, the party of going back to the roots of what made the social safety net the envy of the world? And the other parts of the country have done exactly what they put into place. I don't understand it. I don't understand why it is that they never utter the name FDR, and they never utter Lyndon Johnson. You know what, fine, we screwed up on the Vietnam War. Lyndon Johnson can own that. But you know what, we as Democrats need to take back where it was that we started these safety nets and start talking like they did in terms of bringing back the roots of the Democratic Party, which was about the safety net. Republicans have done nothing in the past 50 years.
Okay, Tom, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Well, we need to reinvent the New Deal and Great Society in the 21st century. And Democrats up until now have not been ambitious enough. That's why there's a real sorting out going on in the party and a real debate as to what its direction should be. But obviously, government is not a can-do government anymore. Up from the New Deal to the Great Society, we had a sense we could solve any problem and had big ambitions. And now, you can't make healthcare affordable. You can't make sure everyone has childcare. We can't do anything with the climate crisis. So, well, we've actually created a lot. The liberals have been part of creating a lot of procedural mechanisms in government, all sorts of checks on it that make it impossible for it to actually achieve things. And ironically, what that has done is it's made a lot of people frustrated that their lives aren't getting better, their problems aren't going to be solved, and therefore more open to a demagogue like Donald Trump. Now, there's still a population that might be mobilized by talking about FDR and LBJ, but let's face it, a very high proportion of voters are too young to remember that. So it is like trying to tell them about the Beverly Hillbillies or some, you know, golden age television show, that it needs to be refreshed. But I think that we need the moral equivalent as far as government that can actually address problems for people so that they believe and trust in democracy and invest in it.
All right, let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you. Eric, you say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. I just want to say high crimes and misdemeanors. Because unless denying human beings their due process rights and refusing Supreme Court orders falls under the president's job description, crimes are being committed by this administration on the daily. And I'd just like to say in reference to that, a heads up that our federal elected representatives are all home for the Easter break, and they'll be in their home offices, home districts, through April 27th. So this is the time for Wisconsinites to call and visit their elected Republican reps at their home offices to demand that they return all the kidnapping victims being held here and abroad. And while they're at it, they need to demand and begin impeachment proceedings. Don't call their D.C. offices. Make sure to visit them at their home offices instead. And the websites will have office information, so please contact them there. Thanks.
Eric, always good stuff. Dr. Craig?
People should definitely be active in visiting congressional offices and joining organized protests and actions aimed at those members of Congress. Now, a lot of the Republicans are in hiding. So I don't know if Derek Van Orden, for example, Civic Media has several stations in the 3rd Congressional District, is going to be in his office. He seems to be in hiding. So we have that. But caller's totally right that congressional recess is an opportunity to get their attention. And it has to be signaled to them that their own constituents won't accept them taking health care away from kids and grandmas and disabled people and people without jobs that provide good health care in order to fund completely unnecessary new tax cuts for Elon Musk and for the richest corporations in our country.
You know, Dr. Craig, if it is, it's more than frustrating. And, you know, I had Mayor Tom Barrett on yesterday, and the one thing that he said, a lot of things over the 2 hours that he was in the studio, but the one thing he kept reiterating was, Dr. Craig, you got to keep fighting. You know, that you if you give up, if we give up, we're defeated. But you have to keep fighting, right?
So there have been a lot of nonviolent, peaceful resistance movements have been successful either against entirely authoritarian regimes or against regimes that were trying to get authoritarian control. We're kind of in that middle period. It takes, there's big data on this. There are researchers who study this, about 2.5% of the population to be very active. That is going to protest, taking actions. So it actually does not have to be the whole society, but the key is that democracy is a participatory sport. It's not a spectator sport. And social media, falling into shows, tracking the news is not enough. The next step is we need to be out on the streets and in the community in order to win. But we can win if people do that.
All right, 855-752-4842. Come right back to the phone lines. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I wanted to just say that in the conversation about Charlie Sykes, Charlie Sykes is absolutely correct. But I want to add one more thing to his spot-on comment. It's been captured. Our system has been captured. We have our republic now is hanging together by threads. You know, when we saw the Supreme Court seats stolen, when we see elections being manipulated by the other side, outcomes when there's no fact behind it, and finally when we see a neutered court system that has now basically allowed kings and queens to dominate, to hold harmless. If we were paying attention when we began talking about New World Order and oligarchy control in the late 90s, we wouldn't be here. The problem is we've got this muddy media system that now has been captured by the big money interests to where it is a profit center of itself. It is a business plan. It has nothing to do with a republic or reporting and doing the people's work. It has to do with influence and power. So along with Charlie Sykes's comment, I just want to add one more thing, and that is we're already here. If we fail to neglect our limited control in our limited window that we have yet to pursue our democracy and our republic back, if we fail to neglect that, we don't have a chance.
Thank you very much. Always great conversation. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
He definitely hit the nail on the head. We have a Congress and administration that basically are saying we can do anything we want, and we can pull you out of the country and throw you into a foreign prison, and you better be afraid. So don't even try to buck our system, because we're going to take care of you if you do. If the Republican Party had done everything that they said they were going to do back in the 80s under Reagan, people were saying that they would never get back into office again. The same thing is true today, I think, except they are doing it. And that leaves me to worry. I don't think that they intend to have another election, at least not in our lifetime. These guys want to keep power, and they'll do it by any way necessary. They'll use the so-called SAVE Act, which stands for Stop Americans Voting, and there won't be another election. Otherwise, they won't get back into office again. That's my concern. I don't know what we can do about that. The courts won't stop them. They've got the handles on the Justice Department. That won't stop them. We can demonstrate. We can hang out in the streets and take a chance on getting tear gassed or worse. But that's about all we can do at this point.
Hey, Jack.
Any suggestions?
Thank you very much for the call, Dr. Craig.
I would suggest look at South Korea, where the president tried to have a constitutional coup, and the people didn't just take to the streets. So many took to the streets. It was so intense that the legislative branch of their government immediately overcame him and changed the decision, and now he's been removed from office. So I think that historically, you need a peaceful resistance as great as you can get. But of course, the first stage is to try to prevent them from taking the mechanism of democracy. There are a couple things in here. Chris Murphy has suggested they'll go after the funding mechanisms for the Democrats in the nonprofit sector, like Act Blue, where all the small contributions of Democrats go. And Trump's executive order on having to prove citizenship to voting essentially makes all of the voting machines in the country inadequate to the standard. That has been court. So there are real dangers to what the caller is saying, but we have to try to fight to prevent them from being able to compromise the vote. But if they can, then the only alternative is mass peaceful resistance that is sustained. And what these movements do is they make the society, the government, the economy impossible to run. And that's how they win. But they do win when enough people participate and they have enough stamina and commitment.
Dr. Craig, we got to leave it there. Always good talking to you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.